So what does the IRS want to see from the judge or the court, right? The judge calls you up, all right, and says, I think these people are cheating on their taxes. I don't know what to do. What do you want?
Well, I want everything that he has access to at that point that he can provide to me. I'm not going to ask him to take any steps for me, but I do want everything that he has currently. And anything that comes subsequently as a natural progression of the proceeding that he's overseeing. But other than that, I'm going to take the information that he provides, and I'm going to move from there.
Are you going to look at what's been filed on the docket, right? In New Jersey, the CISs and all those documents?
Yes, I want all of those documents. I'm going to be looking at those documents to see what kind of financial statements and financial information are stated on there, whether or not it's signed under penalty of perjury. Is it something, what is the relationship between the attorney and the client as far as how it was submitted? Was this something that is submitted by an accountant as opposed to an attorney, or an attorney on behalf of the accountant that it, who had prepared it? I'm going to be looking at all of those things, because I'm looking for what I really would like to see is something that is ideally a statement under penalty of perjury submitted to the court by the individual. Because if you look at your signature page on all of your tax returns, it also has a juret on it that says, I'm signing this under penalty of perjury. So if you have two contradicting documents that are signed under penalty of perjury, that's a great start to look. You're either lying to me or you're lying to the court.
And so what I can tell you is, in New Jersey, some of the judges have adopted a format of letter that says, look, this is what I'm going to find. I'm going to find that the tax reported was 50, the couple really makes 150, so I'm going to award support of 75. And they're just, that's what goes. They write what their findings are and where they're inclined to go to the taxing authority. And the taxing authority decides to act or not act. All right. Now, in New Jersey, there are judges who don't want to leave children without parents. So they've spent a fair amount of time in developing alternatives to the Sheridan referral, as they call it. Some work and some can't be done in other states. Other states have actually adopted them from New Jersey. Others have actually rejected them. So one is to appoint a receiver. We call it it's a tax receiver, but it's to take possession and control of all of the property of the marriage. So it's a constructive trust. It's held in custodial ledgers to avoid precipitous levies, right? They want the IRS to come into court to request seizing the money so that they can control what's going to go to the wife, what's going to go to the children. And the IRS is served under, I think, 28 USC 2410, so that they have a period of time to file a proof of claim, right? So in the actual Sheridan opinion, the court gave the IRS a one-year deadline and said, look, we're going to hold the property in trust for 1 year. I'll give you orders when I'm ordering distributions to be made, but you have 1 year to tell me how much tax is due. If not, I am going to distribute the money as the law requires, as my opinion requires. So there are judges who will actually try to protect the funds and allow the IRS and the couple to duke it out as to what is the right amount of money. Generally, the person who gets hurt in this would be the person who wants to claim innocent spouse, because the IRS gets paid off the top, and then the judge distributes the rest of the money. other judges will take into consideration the loss of innocent spouse in dividing up what is equitable distribution. So equitable distribution doesn't have to be 50-50. If the judge finds that the couple enjoyed the proceeds of the tax evasion, it'll be marital debt, just comes off the top. On the other hand, if one of the two spouses was primarily responsible, enjoyed the money, the other one might be an innocent spouse, then they'll adjust equitable distribution so that you never have to have an IRS tax case, unless there isn't enough money to pay everybody. Do you ever have cases where there's not enough money to pay everything? The lawyers get paid off the top in Texas, right?
We only wish. We often have cases where there is going to be some enormous debt, whether it's an IRS debt or a mortgage or something of that sort. Then the court may order that funds be held in escrow, deposited into the registry of the court, whatever vehicle the court chooses, until such debt is satisfied, and then make a division of the estate from that point, dividing the balance. And it doesn't have to be a dollar number, it can be a percentage number, because one of the biggest myths about family law in the state of Texas is that all community estates are divided 50-50. It's just a myth. It doesn't have to be that way at all.